Good afternoon. We survived 11 days together in an RV in Alaska. Six airline flights. And you're here with me today.
I am.
There's absolutely something wrong with you.
Why?
Why would you want to spend this much time with me?
I mean, I don't know. I really don't. You know,
that's because
I
pay for things for you.
True.
Yes.
You pay for a lot.
I do. Daily. Hourly.
You still owe me money from the trip for parking.
I don't owe you anything from the trip.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
Anyway, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz. Appreciate you tuning in. My daughter Taylor is here with me.
Hello.
And we're going to talk a little bit about Alaska today. Got some other things to talk about. But yeah, we just spent an incredible, I guess, 10 days in Alaska, 11 days total.
Mm-hmm.
Just wow. Favorite thing from the trip.
We'll get this up.
Denali.
Without a doubt.
Denali, yeah. I have been to Alaska twice, and I have seen Mount McKinley both times. Not just like a part of it. I have seen the whole mountain twice now. And that's, you know, less than 30% of the people that go into Denali National Park see the mountain. And you could see it from the moment we got in the first opportunity on the bus, because we take an 8-hour transit bus ride into Allison Visitor Center, which is 66 miles into the park. And from the first viewpoint that you could ever see Denali, it was there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, incredible.
Crystal clear. You could see the snow, everything.
All right. So what did we see? We saw brown bears.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple brown bears.
Some big ones, too.
Really close.
Caribou.
A bunch of caribou. Sheep.
We didn't see any moose, did we?
We saw one moose.
Yeah, we saw one moose.
One moose. Just for a fleeting moment.
Was that the one I caught?
Well, there's a caribou and a moose, and they were kind of going off the
ground. Yeah. Wait, then two, because there was the one I caught that was down in the river valley.
Okay.
Y'all didn't get to see it because we went past the trees.
Okay. All right. Okay. Out of the big five, which are in and out of there, the big five sightings, what you want to see is bears.
Wolves.
Well, the wolves was what we didn't see.
Yeah, we didn't
bears,
see.
Bears, sheep, wolves, caribou. Yeah. Uh-oh. Doll sheep.
Yeah.
And wolves. Those are the big five.
Yeah. And we saw four out of
and five. We were literally 5 minutes away from the wolves. What happens is the transit tours leave like every half an hour from the visitor center. And there's also green buses, which are the narrated tour buses. They leave from the visitor center and go to different points inside the park. And when one of them sights something, they stop and you can see the buses ahead of you in action. We were coming into, what was the river?
Oh,
is the river before Monochrome Pass?
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. We were going into the park and hadn't gotten the river yet, and the wolves were on the other side of the river, and we had a 15-minute bathroom break there at one of the places in the park, and the wolves were on the other side of the river, and there were three other buses that got to see, and we were literally that close to seeing the wolves, too.
And they had told us, they said, now we had a wolf pack move in through here a couple of days ago, and they've been hanging around, and so it's like, keep your eyes peeled,
yep.
And yeah.
And they were there, you just couldn't see them.
Mm-hmm.
They were there.
Yep.
So
we missed a ton. I could tell you that right now. It was so there were parts that were thick and you just couldn't see, but you know you missed a ton.
And you're sitting there looking in your glass and all, and you're not seeing anything. And you're in the back of your head is like, what is out there looking back at me?
Like, hello. Up here.
So, but I have to say, we had a great time. I've had a great time in Alaska with both my daughters. But people, none of this happened without my wife. You know, she has stayed now. Well, I guess the first time when I took Taylor, when I took Jordan, she had you to keep her company. This past time, all she had was our lab. But nothing, none of this stuff happens without her. I mean, thank you, Debbie, for letting me have these experiences with my girls. Next time it's yours. Next time I go to Alaska, we're going to go together and not going to make you stay in an RV. I'm going to get a rental car, and we're going to stay at some nice lodges. And if I want to go out fishing or whatever, I'm going to set you up, you know, at the spa or something like that. But, yeah, it's folks, if you really want to know how I do all this stuff, it's because of my wife. And that's that's just a simple answer to it all. So thanks, sweetie. I appreciate you. Appreciate you putting up with me and letting me go off and do all the stuff that I get to do.
You know, I think she was glad you were gone. I think she was sad I was gone. Isn't that right, Mom? Yeah, because she told me she missed me, not us. Me.
She missed you for all the drama and details.
Whatever.
That's what her life was flat without you because you're such a drama queen.
I've accepted that by now, so.
Well, it's fine that you do. Just need to realize it. So anyway, all right. Well, we're going to talk about Alaska a little bit. I've got some other things to talk about. I do have a calendar of events for those of you out there that are looking for something to do. You know, we'll get to that later on because the big calendar of events starts next Saturday, and we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. But, okay, first off, the South Carolina Apple Festival is coming up. They've got a golf game on Tuesday the 4th. Wednesday, September the 5th, is the Chattooga River Float. It's from Wild Water Limited, Long Creek. For details and reservations, call them. Cost is $20. That's a really cool one. Thursday, the Apple Baking Contest. We've got live entertainment going on. Let's see what else we got. Arts and Crafts, Quilt Show, Apple Festival Parade. They got an IPRA rodeo happening on Friday the 7th. And it just goes on for there. So you can get more information. It's the 57th annual South Carolina Apple Festival. And I think it's happening. When I have to rush and do this stuff, I don't get it right. I'm not sure where it's happening. I'll Google it right quick. Hang on just a second. I'll tell you where it's happening. South Carolina Apple Festival. And it's happening. Hang on just a second. I'll tell you.
We're a little out of sorts today.
Yeah, I'm a little out of sync. I mean, I don't know what's worse. Coming back here to the heat and humidity because it's...
it was like a high of like 65.
It's Oconee County. There you go. It's up in Oconee. Sorry about that. Yeah, the heat and humidity is one thing. And the time is the other thing. Oh gosh, the time is 4 hours time difference. That's the other thing. Okay, so Oconee County, get up there. South Carolina Apple Festival, the 4th annual Ride the Tide Festival, happening near Polly's Island. Join us for the 4th annual Ride the Tide event. We had so much fun last year. We can't wait to start the fun again this year. It's going to benefit the Lowcountry Food Bank. On Saturday, September the 8th, please join together with family, friends, and your community for the 2018 Ride the Tide event, a fun-filled hour, 4-mile float down the Waccamaw River. You begin at Litchfield Plantation Marina and end at Hagley Landing on Hagley Drive in Polly's Island, South Carolina. Registration begins at 9, water blast off 11 to 12. Float with any non-motorized vehicle such as a tube, kayak, canoe. Rent one for us or make your own float. It's open to any non-motorized flotation device. Bring your kayaks, inner tubes, canoes, or get creative and build your own raft. All participants will be required to wear a life jacket for the event. And then afterwards, they're going to have an after party at the Polly's Island Raw Bar. Live entertainment starts at 3 o'clock. And they got some volunteer opportunities there, too. So, anyway, the Lowcountry 4th Annual Ride the Tide Festival is coming up. Then you got the Georgetown Coastal Adventures presents on Saturday the 8th, 7:30 a.m. It's the Land's End Yacht Club. Wait a minute. Fishing for Dreams. I'm really out of sorts today. Y'all have to excuse me. And I thought I got a pretty good, I got to sleep at 3 o'clock this morning. Fishing for Dreams, the Outdoor Dream Foundation Inshore Slam Tournament, Saturday, September 8th, 7:30 a.m. down at the Georgetown Yacht Club, Land's End Yacht Club. So that's a good, the Outdoor Dream, or Fishing for Dreams Outdoor Dream Foundation is a great one to, I'll get a little more into that one. But anyway, let's go to break. I'm going to take a deep breath here, slap myself in the face. And get it right coming back. Be with you on the other side of the break. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I bet you don't know who sings this song.
Me?
Yeah, you.
I don't know.
That's because you listen to that country music.
You do too.
Gosh, I had to listen to that stuff. I figured it out though. There are 7 country music songs.
On the one.
There are 7 country music songs.
Thing, yeah.
And they play them over and over in varying order. What is it? I don't even want to get into it.
You like the old country music?
Yeah, that has more than like 6 words.
Gosh. Just don't appreciate country music in general.
No, not really. I gave in and had to listen. I listened to country music like half the time.
And let me tell you.
Half the time I listened to country music in Alaska.
He sang along with me. And then after a while, it started to get stuck in his head. And he was walking around the RV singing it. So you like it.
I don't. It's just ingrained. It's like you can't get rid of it.
Okay, whatever.
The next week, I'm going to purge myself of whatever country music I listen to. Okay, let's get back to this. Fishing for Dreams, the Outdoor Dream Foundation, having an inshore slam tournament presented by Georgetown Coastal Adventure, Saturday, September the 8th, 7:30 a.m. Fishing begins at 7:30, weigh-in. They're going to have a celebration dinner afterwards, and then an auction at Land's End Yacht Club. You can get more information. I was looking for the payouts here. Grand Slam, first prize, $500, second, $300. So there's a lot of payouts here. It's the Outdoor Dream Foundation, in case you don't know, is 100% volunteer, drawn 501c3, based in Anderson, South Carolina, with the purpose of granting world-class hunting and fishing adventures to children who have been diagnosed with terminal or life-threatening illnesses. So it's a great organization to get behind, and you can do sponsorships. Of course, being 501c3, they're tax-deductible. So anyway, if you're interested in that, that's September the 8th. Fishing rodeos. We still have one fishing rodeo happening September the 22nd at the Shraw Fish Hatchery. It is not full. So if you want to take a kid to a fishing rodeo and you're in the Shraw area, Chesterfield County, you can do that. You can find out more at Aquatic Ed on the DNR website. And we still have a few family fishing clinics coming up. September the 8th, Santee State Park, Lake Rabun on September the 9th, Sun City Grand Parents Park, September 15th. Lexington Wildlife Center, or Lexington Wildlife Chapter, on September the 15th. Table Rock, September 22nd. And then again on Lake Rabun on September 22nd. If you're not familiar with the family fishing clinics, hit the DNR website, go to Aquatic Ed, and learn more about the family fishing clinics. And if you have any questions, Sarah Chabane at DNR will be more than happy to talk to you about them. Saturday, September 15th is an event. One of those give back events. It's the Beach Sweep River Sweep, partnership between the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources and the Sea Grant Consortium here in South Carolina. Let's see, 9 a.m. to noon. It's an annual event since 1988, and it's part of the Ocean Conservancy's International Coastal Cleanup, which involves several hundred thousand volunteers in over 75 nations. So, again, you can find a lot more at the DNR website, but I'm going to tell you where you can go or where some of the cleanup sites are going to be. Lake Marion, Broad River, Lynch's River at Highway 52 Bridge, Reedy River, Lake Watery, the Catawba River, Saluda River, Saluda River at Saluda Shoals Park, Joe Cassie, Lake Pinnacle, Carey's Lake, Broad River, Sesquicentennial State Park, Fairforce Creek and Park Hills Neighborhood. Those are a few of the inland sweep cleanups, and there is a whole list of the coastal cleanup sites. And each one of these, if you go to the website, it'll give you county, location, the name of the site cleanup captain, the organization that's sponsoring it, a telephone number, an email address, and all of these. The inlands are all happening on 9/15. It's an opportunity, hey, look, for 3 hours, 9 to noon, to go clean up trash along our waterways. And I've had them on the show before talking about it, and I would like for you to get involved. This is one of those, they collect a lot of stuff, tires, trash, plastic bottles. You'd be amazed the stuff that ends up in the waterways. And it's an opportunity for you to give back to the environment, to our habitat here in South Carolina, to the fish that live in those rivers, to the water quality that all of us depend on, and the water we like to float, paddle, and fish in. The only white knuckle event in Alaska. Let's see. I got to backtrack. Okay, So Saturday. Oh gosh, must have been Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it was Tuesday. Where were we?
Oh, it was Wednesday. Wednesday.
We're getting our days confused now, Dad.
Because we stayed in Delta Junction.
Yeah.
On the Delta Clearwater River Tuesday night.
Yep.
Got up Wednesday and drove from there. We were going to go to the Matanuska Glacier, but it was raining.
That's right.
And we came all the way back into Anchorage. Yeah. So Wednesday morning, we just passed the Alaska Pipeline. I mean, you actually cross it. We were on the Richardson Highway. Now, this is going from Fairbanks, Alaska, all the way to Valdez. And so that's the route. Valdez is the port terminal in Alaska. And so the pipeline runs from the North Slope down through Fairbanks and kind of parallels the Richardson all the way to Valdez. So we just stopped and taken a picture of the bunny rabbits, the Arctic hares.
Okay, if y'all think we have a lot of rabbits up here.
We don't have rabbits here.
Well, we have bunnies. You know, they're good to eat. But anyway.
There are a few of them around.
Yeah, but
there was a stretch of probably 15 miles. There were rabbits
everywhere. Like on each side of the road. And they would just sit there and watch you.
So anyway.
Wait. It's not rabbits. It's Arctic hares.
Yes, I already said that.
Our bus driver got mad at us for saying rabbits.
And they're also not groundhog. Well, no. Okay, the Arctic hares. The groundhogs were not groundhogs. They're Arctic
ground squirrels.
Ground squirrels, that's it.
I don't understand Alaskans, but it's okay.
Well, it's a cousin thing to everything we have down here. So anyway, we're in the stretch of road where there are rabbits everywhere, okay? And if I was a fox in Alaska, I know where I'd want to live. And we just passed the Alaska pipeline, and we came around a curve in the road, and I looked on the right-hand side of the road, and I was like, moose. And there's a moose, a cow moose, standing on the side of the road, and she's just like a whitetail. And if any of you have driven down the roads here in South Carolina or anywhere in the South, and you passed a whitetail deer on the side of the road, it's like, don't jump into the roadway. And I'm looking at this moose going, don't jump in the roadway. I made this break.
Don't pull a whitetail.
Yeah, don't pull a whitetail on us because this is not going to be pretty. I got stopped about the time we got even with her, and she just kind of looked at us and turned around and walked back into the brush. But that was the only white knuckle moment of the whole trip, I think. I don't like the frost heaves.
I love frost.
Taylor loves frost heaves.
If y'all know what frost heaves are, how did you explain it, Dad? When it frosts
in the wintertime, when the water moisture settles into the ground and it permeates the asphalt, you get
little
freeze underneath the asphalt, so it pushes the asphalt up. When things freeze, expands.
And it's like a roller coaster. It's so much fun.
And it's not fun to drive on. I can promise you. An RV, and it's swaying and bouncing and going all in. She's sitting there going, woo, woo, woo. I'm sitting there going, I'm going to have a wreck.
Help it.
I know. It was
fun. I'm not driving, so it's
You're
fun.
Not driving. It's fun. Oh, man. If you are a photographer, and I was proud of it. I took like 3,000 pictures, which is down about 1,500 from the last time.
3,000?
Well, 900 of them were taken of Arctic grayling on the Delta Clearwater River.
The ones you couldn't
We'll get
catch.
Into that. Don't say that. I could have caught four. I just lost four. If you're into photography, the South Carolina Wildlife Foundation, SCWF, has a photography contest every year. And it's open right now. This is the 16th annual wildlife photography contest. It actually opened August 15th. It's open through October the 31st. Amateur photographers, you got four categories here. Well, three. So they're taking down three. Carolina Critters. That's right. There used to be four. Because it used to be Kids in Nature or something like that. So it's down to three now. Carolina Critters. Did you catch that bird sifting through the upstate snow to find its meal on film? How about the shy deer venturing out in the PD field to graze? A turkey or the great blue heron wading through the swamps of low country? That's one category. Scenes of South Carolina. A gorgeous South Carolina sunrise on the ocean or sunsets in the mountains. Early morning dew in an open field. Placement of rocks in one of South Carolina's many rivers. These scenes and many others found in the beauty of South Carolina landscapes are another category. Backyard habitat. Some of the most beautiful and unique wildlife in South Carolina can be found in your own backyard. Now's your chance to show off the hard work you've put into turning your backyard into a haven for wildlife, which is the 4-H, you know, youth food plot program that we talked about here. Let's see. So, yeah, you can put the work into your own backyard, provide food, water, cover, and places to raise young, and we want to see your creations. The entry requirements, no more than three photographs can be entered in each category per person. Submit color, black and white prints. We prefer digital images JPEG, GIFs, and PNG files, at least 72 pixels per inch, which will result in approximately 250 kilobyte size in JPEG formats. Digital alterations. All photographs should accurately reflect the subject matter and the scene as it appeared, and they have a way they can tell standard. If you alter it beyond standard optimization, they will disqualify you. Entry fee is $15. It's a one-time entry fee for up to 3 photographs or 9 photographs total. First place. The cool thing about it is you see these all over Department of Natural Resources website, Facebook, Instagram. It shows up throughout the year, and they'll post it as, hey, this is one of the entries into the SCWF photography contest. And it was a great picture. It didn't win, but we wanted to put it out here. So you see your pictures scattered all over the place. I've got, I need to do some of these. It's just a matter of finding ones that I really want to put in.
That will be hard.
That would be difficult. That would be difficult. So anyway, that's kind of your calendar of events for this week. It's by no means a complete thing. It's just something to give you an idea. Oh, wait a minute. Upper South Carolina State Fair is coming. It's August 30th through September 9th. Tons of stuff there. And you also have the South Greenville Fair, September 14th, 15th to, you know, kind of the get back in touch with nature with the rabbit show, the dairy show, the beef show, tractor parades. You know, the Upper South Carolina State Fair is a huge thing. I couldn't let them go without mentioning them. So, find something to go do. Boy, there's no lack of things to do in Alaska. We're going to get into that in the next segment of the show. So hang on through the break. Back with Taylor and I in more Woods and Water, South Carolina. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. As promised, we're going to spend a little time on Alaska. You know, at one point on this show, over some time over the last 2 or 3 years, I thought about doing something called a destinations segment, maybe once a quarter or something, where if I've been somewhere or somebody I know has been somewhere that's outdoor related, that you can do a lot of things outside, that it'd be highlighted. So I don't know. I'm not going to call it destinations. I don't know. Outside South Carolina. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know.
Got a better name?
No, not really.
Okay, we'll come with a better name. But I'm going to start doing that. Because I do know some other people who have been to some really neat places that, that a lot of people, and I know when I opened the phone lines back a couple of weeks ago, had people calling in talking, hey, yeah, talk about Alaska. We want to hear it. So we're going to do that, and I'm going to start that thing up again and see if we can't get a quarterly, we'll come up with a name for it or something, where it's, hey, if you want to travel outside, because there's a lot to do in South Carolina. Trust me, you could do something every weekend and never run out of something to do. But if you want to get away west, if you want to go Florida fishing, and you want to go hunt somewhere, hike and camp and bike and RV or whatever, then we can try to work some of that into the show. So this is the first one. And well, you really can't go much further in the United States than from Greer to Anchorage, Alaska.
Yep.
Somewhere around, it depends on what you want to do. If you want to call it statute miles, it's like 7,500 statute miles. It's like 6,500 nautical miles. And I don't know on the airline side what they count it is, but you travel a long way in the air. And then we drove about 1,300, a little over 1,300 miles while we were there.
Oh.
And,
goodness,
yeah.
Grace.
It passed really, really fast.
It really, really, really did.
But we were so busy. And this, okay, and to start all this off, this is why we like RVing, especially in Alaska. Now, you know, around the continental United States, I'm not so sure. I mean, I guess you could. The only thing I found about RVs in the lower 48 is that everyone charges you a mileage fee. Whereas when we go to Alaska, the first time I went to ABC Motorhomes, and they're unlimited mileage. When we went to Great Alaskan Holidays this time around, they had you could pick from a a set mileage allowance, or you could do unlimited miles. We chose the unlimited. And I think the standard charge is 1,200 miles. They figure out 1,200 miles at 20 cents, and that's what they tack onto your bill. And I did unlimited for about the same, and last time I think I drove 1,500 miles. So we didn't go to Homer this year.
No, we did not.
We did not go to Homer.
But I was fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, Homer's another 500 miles. It's 250 miles south of Cooper Landing. And, you know, other than being a big sandbar out in the middle of the bay, it's you know, it's cool. I've been there once. It didn't, just nothing took me back.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't miss fishing the Anchor River and looking out across the bay at Mount Eliama on the other side of the bay. So, and don't get me wrong, the bay down at Homer is just incredible. And, you know, if you watch what's the Kilcher show? Where the family is homesteading in Alaska?
Yeah.
That takes place at the head of the bay up from Homer.
I forget the name of the show.
I can't remember the show, but it's a pretty cool show. By the way, Jewel is their daughter.
Yeah.
The singer Jewel is that family's daughter, which is really cool. So, okay, your first time flying.
Yeah.
Then what a way to start off flying.
All day spent either in an airport or in an airplane. That was interesting.
It was. You got a little queasy there.
Yeah.
I think that's just because you ate so fast in Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, that was going home.
No, it was going.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, we ate breakfast at Chick-fil-A. Let me tell you what, the Chick-fil-A in the Atlanta airport, that's a smoking bunch of people. They know how to serve people down there.
Yep.
Every other place has got like 10 or 15 people. You get to Chick-fil-A, there's like 50 people in line. In fact, that's how we're going to pay for our next trip to Alaska.
We're going
to
bring a whole bunch of Chick-fil-A.
We're going to get a 72-quart cooler,
yep.
Stock it with Chick-fil-A, and sell it on the corner in Anchorage, Alaska.
Because they don't have Chick-fil-A in Alaska.
They don't have Chick-fil-A.
And it was weird, because every time I was like, ooh, I want a Chick-fil-A sandwich. So we were looking, and we're like, wait a minute.
There's no Chick-fil-A's up there. I could have told you that.
We don't have Chick-fil-A. So we had to settle for McDonald's.
Yeah, we ate Mickey D's, so...
Ugh. So I had Chick-fil-A today, which was amazing.
Oh yeah, it's a good one. But so we played the and when you go to Alaska, you play the weather game because it in fact it really hurt the fishing because mm-hmm. everything was elevated, all the water levels were up, the rivers were up, kind of hurt the fishing. We did catch that sockeye salmon just wore you out, didn't he? Taylor got a hold of a live one. I don't know, 10, 12 pounds?
Yeah. Yep. That was...
on a fly rod. On my 8-weight. That was fun to watch.
Oh.
And then the pictures. Boy, he was just... He
did not like me very
much.
He
did not like being held out of the water.
All I was thinking was, do not break this rod. If you break this rod, Dad will leave you here.
Yeah.
Which, I was fine with, but...
I know you were fine with that. I just don't want to break my Winston rod. So, yeah, and then the fish slime on your jacket still smells. We have to clean that up today.
Yeah, but it was all worth it.
Oh, it was absolutely worth it. Got to see your bear on the Russian River.
Smokey.
He's a cute guy.
He was, wasn't he?
He was. He was. He was. All he was interested in were the dead salmon. He paid us no mind. He walked into a bunch of, five or six guys fishing.
And they just stepped out of his way. And
they just walked right on by him.
He's on down the bank.
The bears in the rivers, that's what they do because they're just focused on the salmon. So when you see a picture of a bear on a river in Alaska and there's people around, I mean, it's a potential conflict, but you just move out of their way, let them have the river, and they just go about their business. So it's really no big deal. I mean, it sounds kind of funny to say that,
mm-hmm.
but a bear encounter in Alaska on a river is you just give them space.
It's their land.
It's their home. Yeah. Then there was the ill-fated hike to the Russian River Falls. 7 miles.
In waders
and wading boots. Carrying fly rods and backpacks. And we get there, and the fish platform, the falls are cool because the fish are trying to run up the falls.
Mm-hmm.
So it was cool watching that. And you can fish 600 yards below the falls. And the trail went off around the side of the mountain, and just the bottom fell out. I mean, you had to have gotten down on all fours and crawled up and down that mountain.
When we say straight down, we mean straight down.
Well, close enough to straight down that we didn't want to try it. So we turned around and walked back.
We decided not to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, not to just try the hospital in Alaska.
When I go to, when we go to Colorado Elk Hunting, you pay a 50% search and rescue fee with every license. I didn't pay that in Alaska, so I wasn't quite sure they'd come and get me. So I didn't want to chance it. But,
and that, then we thought there was another way to get to the river.
Yeah. And it led to a, well, there was another way to get to the river. We found that out later.
But
it led to a containment area where it shows the difference between where the moose can browse and where the moose don't browse.
And then there was a little bear trail going off to the right-hand side.
We didn't think we wanted to try that.
No.
It's like we didn't try the bear trail cutting across the power line either. I got halfway and decided, no. Better not.
I said, okay, if this bear just made this trail, I don't want to run into him if he's up above us.
That's right.
And I really...
I don't want to wake
him
up.
I wasn't feeling it. Mm-mm.
But we did some hikes. Hmm? Did some really nice hikes.
Some hikes.
Yeah. did not do Angel Rocks and Fairbanks. That's one we wanted to do, but we didn't do it. Simply because we were worn out hiking around the rivers. Mm-hmm. Okay, so from Russian River, where we went first time, fished bears, our doll sheep all over the mountains. Early and late, you could sit at any point and count 30 doll sheep.
In a group, and then you'd have another group over here, and it was really, really, really cool.
Red squirrels? Gotta love cute little red squirrels.
My little buddies. They're not skittish at all.
Well, they're used to people up there, especially in the campgrounds.
Yeah, I had, where was I going? I was walking back to the RV, and there was a red squirrel in the tree beside me. Like, I'm talking right beside me. And I kind of looked at him, and I was like, okay, you can go across or whatever. He just looked at me.
Yeah.
And then I kept moving, and he followed me. He followed me all the way to the RV until I turned around, and he shot back up the trail.
We saw a bunch of grouse.
Oh, yeah, the grouse were insane.
In fact, we got charged by a grouse.
That was funny.
There was a hen that had flown off the trail, and this grouse is fully ruffled up, got the red patches on his cheeks up, and he's stalking down the trail coming at us. We got charged by a grouse.
He was booking it.
He was going. He was eager to find his lovely lady. let's see. What else do we have? Grouse. Okay, that was the Russian River. Went to Montana Creek. Water was up. You caught your pink.
I caught your big pink salmon
up there. Big hump, big old humpback thing. I mean,
ugly.
Well, they're all ugly, but they get teeth and snouts and all of there.
Fun to catch, though.
The rainbow trout have eluded me on Montana Creek once again. Did not catch any rainbow trout. Then we went to Denali. Just an incredible, incredible day in Denali.
Oh, yes. I still can't wrap my head around how beautiful it was.
How big it is. You cannot bring back how huge Alaska is in a picture. It just doesn't translate at all.
Mm-hmm.
So the pictures I'm going to put up on the website and the Facebook page, I mean, they're pretty.
But you got to go see it for yourself to.
You can't bring it back. You can't bring back the temperatures.
As much as I wish I could.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be tough this week if it's 90. We saw like 68 was the high in Fairbanks. That was the hottest temperature we had. Most of the time of night, it was in the 40s.
I had what?
36 in Denali.
I had three socks on.
Three pair of socks.
And two blankets. And I still was cold.
And I had the windows open. Cool. All right. Last segment coming up. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. They are having an absolute slugfest up on the St. Lawrence River. The Bassmaster Elite Series is up there this weekend. And David Walker is in first place. He has caught 72 pounds of smallmouth in 3 days.
Good.
It's like 27 pounds the first day, almost 23 pounds day two, and 23 pounds today. Justin Lucas is up there. See, Brandon Lester went in leading today, and he's like 3 pounds back, 69, almost 70 pounds. That's a, let's see, where'd our locals end up? Andy's fishing, so Bass Track has him about 40th. Casey finished 83rd. Marty Robinson finished 89th. Angle of the Year race, Casey's in 15th, so he should make the classic. Andy, 22nd. Marty was 52nd, so I don't think he's going to make the, not going to make the classic in Knoxville. So good year for him, but not what he wanted. Okay, back to Alaska real quick. Denali, we've covered that pretty much. Just an incredible experience. That mountain is just, it'll take your breath away. It absolutely will take your breath away. and then all the wildlife. They say you see more wildlife on the cloudy days, but we saw a lot of it. And I think that's temperature-wise. I mean, the high temperature that day was 45.
When we got up to where we could look over Denali, it was 30-something.
It was 45 with the wind blowing.
It was 45?
Oh, yeah, 15 to 20 miles an hour. It was cold. It was chilly.
It was really, really, really cold.
And that's why it's really irritating to come back home. And it's, I know, a cool 82 out there, but, you know, hey, I'm used to the 50s. After Denali, we left and went up to Fairbanks. Stayed in a really nice RV park. Got some cool eagle pictures. Watched him come down and grab a fish out of the river.
Chena River. Really, really, really cool.
Went out and stayed at Chena River Lakes Recreation Site a couple of days. Fished the Chena River. Caught some nice grayling.
Those are fun to catch, too.
Those are fun fish to catch. They eat pretty much everything. The salmon are not eating. Now, a silver salmon, and we did not see a silver in the river. A couple of people found them. I know they said the Kenai River was on fire, but down towards the ocean. But the silver run just hadn't hit the Susitna Valley very well yet. But now silver will eat. He's a fighter. He's angry coming back in. So, but the sockeye, normally you foul hook them. I mean, we caught a fair number of what we caught were in the mouth.
Yeah.
Which was nice, because what happens is they'll feel a lure and they'll, it'll rub up against them and they'll blow out, so to speak, and you feel them blow out and you set the hook and you're in their dorsal fin or, halfway down the back or something. And you're not snagging on purpose. It's just what happens this time of the year. But it was nice to get up and watch fish, those grayling take a topwater fly and.
Oh, yes.
And a little spinner bait. It was really neat. And there again, just the surroundings of the Chena River, you got moose tracks here.
In the deep mud.
and you go back just a little bit, and the willows are just shredded up to about 6 feet, where the moose are just eating all the limbs off of them and the leaves. They obviously don't have a bear problem up in Fairbanks.
A lot of dead salmon on
there. A few dead salmon around. If there had been any bears around, those wouldn't be there.
And I wish they wouldn't have been there. They smell to high heaven.
Yep, but that's the circle of life for a salmon.
I know.
Just beautiful surroundings. Just incredible scenery. Went from the Chena River down to Delta Junction. Another pretty drive. Oh, it must have been in some kind of joint Air Force, Navy, Marine, because, Saturday, Sunday. It must have been Monday morning.
We were
fishing the Chena River.
Yeah.
And we were near Eielson Air Force Base, and we saw F-22 Raptors over at Elmendorf.
And we had F-16s coming.
F-16s, F-15s, and F-18s were all out of Eielson. They sorted off a bunch of tankers first thing in the morning, and then the fighters started coming off, and some were turning west, some were coming north, some were going east.
And so some were in pairs of three.
Well, that's not pairs.
Not pairs.
Groups of three.
Yeah. And
you had some singles coming off.
Normally you had, two and
normally
four?
You had two pairs of two sorting out. But then you'd have a single here, and you'd have a three-ship group here. So obviously some kind of maneuvers, because they were going on Monday afternoon. We came back in from fishing. They were still coming in. That was like 6:30.
And that distracted us from the bad fishing.
The fishing wasn't bad. Alaska Department of Game and Fish stocked some lakes up the Chena River. There are four of them, and they're stocking with, 8-9-inch grayling and some rainbow trout. So we pulled in the first one, and we just started catching these little fish, and it was fun. And it was warm, and we ate lunch out there, and so that's where we spent most of the day. We didn't even really try. We stopped at a bunch of river access points to see the river, but with the water being up, the grayling were like pools, and there were no pools. It was all swift water. So it took us a while to really find the grayling. We didn't find them until lunchtime on Tuesday, really.
Yep.
But when we found them, they were there. It was one after the other.
It was really fun.
It was fun. So left there, drove down to Delta Junction, Delta Clearwater, and talking about Clearwater.
It was Clearwater.
It was Clearwater. I mean, with fluorocarbon leader on, those fish were not rising for it. Of course, it's hard to feed a grayling a sulfur or a Adams or something when there's this huge mayfly hatch going on. And mayflies are coming down the river, and they're just, I mean, there's five or six grayling within a 20-yard stretch on the river that are just constantly coming up and slurping mayflies off the top, and I'm sitting here throwing an Adams in there. It just doesn't fool them. I did have four takes. In fact, the first two that took them, I was so surprised. I just, he's coming up, he's coming up, he's coming up, and he's sucking off, and I'm like, look at that. He's got it. And I wouldn't set the hook, and it'd pull off. So I lost four fish. And then we're not talking 12, 13-inch like we were catching on the Chena River. We're talking 15, 16, 17-inch grayling. These were big boys. And so I lost four, and I just resorted to sitting. I sat there for, what, 2-3 hours? Just sitting on the side of the river until it started raining too hard.
I was in the RV this entire time.
You were doing schoolwork.
Yeah, I was catching up on school. Gosh, I missed the first week of school, huh?
Yeah, but beauty of homeschooling. Yeah,
but I had decided to go out on a walk, and I walked down to where Dad was, and I hear, "Dadgummit!" I was like, "What is wrong with you?" He goes, "These dang fish are not taking it." I was like, "I'm sorry." I was like, "Why don't you take a break?" He goes, "Nope, I will catch one of these things." He said, "You are not going to make me take a break." I was like, "Okay."
So I threw everything I had at him. I just not. I just didn't have. Sorry, just didn't have the right fly.
It was a funny thing to watch.
It was very frustrating for a fly fisherman. So it really started making me doubt my credentials until some other guys showed up and said, "That's no better." But evidently there's a place on the Delta Clearwater there that you can go, and there you get in the current more. It's a mud bottom. It's like worse than Charleston mud almost. It's a gray, silty mud, and it'll suck your boots right off. So you have to be careful. But it was great. I loved it. Until it started raining too hard and it ran me in.
Poured
all night long. I mean,
goodness gracious.
All night long it poured. Got up the next morning, kind of cleared off. We made it from there. We were going to the Matanuska Glacier. It's one of the inland glaciers you can get out and walk on. Did that with Jordan in 2011. But we were coming across Eureka Roadhouse. We stopped and got a burger.
Which was out in the middle of nowhere. We thought we didn't have anywhere to stop to eat.
I knew it was up there.
Well, I didn't. I was scared to death.
The cool thing about Eureka Roadhouse is a gas station, motel, general store, and a diner. And across the road from it is, you couldn't even call it a gravel airstrip. It's like the emergency lane on the road where people land.
Yeah.
The last time I was there was a Super Cub sitting there and two guys with a 5-gallon gas can going across to get gas, put more in their Super Cub because they were going moose hunting. And that's just Alaska. There are more airplanes and cars out there, people. So we stopped there. Beautiful view out across. But as soon as we left Eureka Roadhouse, the low clouds, rain came in.
It was just bad weather to be out.
It was miserable. So we took some pictures of the glacier, came on out to Big Bear RV Park out in Wasilla, spent the last night, had a big fire. But, yeah, the couple things I take away from this is insanity. You know, of watching those grayling and trying to feed them something they weren't going to eat for 4 hours or whatever. I dropped two steaks in the fire, grilling steaks, two different nights, and I dropped two steaks in the fire.
And I'm very curious to see what got the steak out of the fire pit that one night.
Yeah, because I got up next morning, the steak was not there. I don't want to know what that came and got the steak out of the fire. That was up on the Chena River. And then I broke a fly reel. The very first fly reel I had was a 6-weight St. Croix, and the foot on it broke, front and back.
That was when I had one of the salmon on.
Yeah, she got a salmon on, the reel foot broke.
And so I felt pop. I just broke the rod.
So that's Alaska. We're going to have a lot more on it on the website and the Facebook page and all, but it's doable, people. It's really doable. If you got questions about it, feel free to text me, call me, email me. You can find all that information on the Facebook page of the website. The big thing on the calendar event, September 1st, Labor Day weekend, is always the opening day of dove season. That is when the South Carolina Wildlife Calendar starts on September 1st. So if you don't have anything to do next Saturday, find you a dove field. Go burn some powder, support the American economy, shooting sports economy. But yeah, great trip. Thanks for going.
Yeah. As long as you're paying, I'll go.
It hasn't. Doesn't that just sound like every woman out there? As long as you're paying, I'll go wherever you want to go. But yeah, next weekend, Labor Day weekend, I don't care if you go dove hunt, you go paddle a river somewhere, hike a trail, make some plans and get out there. Start the fall off right. September, October, November, three of the best months to be in South Carolina. There's just tons of stuff to do, and I hope you get out there and do it. But Alaska is really doable. You budget for it. I know people who spend more money going to Disney for a week than it costs to go to Alaska. And you just have to put some work into it. Two books you need if you think about going to Alaska, The Milepost and The Highway Angler. Two books. Gene Hill, one of my favorite authors, has some of the best books out there. A lot of them make you tear up. A lot of them make you laugh. Has some sayings. I've read a couple of these, but soak it up. Go into it softly and thoughtfully with love and understanding. For another year must pass before you can come this way again. Pretty good saying. Closing words?
Well, just if you get the chance to go to Alaska, do it. Enjoy it. Take lots of pictures. No, it won't describe it in the way you can when you see it, but just go out there and enjoy it. Soak it all in.
All right, people. Make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. Don't forget the camera and the binoculars. Back next week with more Woods and Water, South Carolina. In my mind.